our introduction leading up to the Ten Commandments. I feel there's some things we need to understand as a foundation before we get to the actual commandments themselves. We've looked at two major errors concerning the commands or the law of God. One is legalism, and the strict definition of legalism is those who believe that salvation is obtained through the legal system or through a system of works. The saved, of course, can be guilty in a form of legalism, and that would be a works-based righteousness after you're saved. That's a form of legalism. The other error, which I personally don't believe that a saved person would hold to, but some would argue that, I suppose, and that would be antinomianism, which basically just does away with the commands of God. They use Romans 6, verse 14, we are under grace, not under the law. We've already addressed that in its context. It's talking about salvation. We are saved by grace. We are not saved by the law. We saw last week the importance of God's laws, and this is seen from, we looked at from six different ways. The fact that God's people were to know the laws of God, He told them over and over that they were to know the laws of God. That shows the importance. They were also to store the laws of God in their heart. They were to store these laws in their heart. We see also they were to teach the commandments of God to their children. They were to do so diligently. They were to do so when they were sitting, when they were standing, everywhere they went. They were to teach their children the laws of God. They were to always have the laws of God before them so that they would always remember them, always being reminded, this is what God expects. We see they were, the importance is also seen from the fact that the laws of God were publicly read. A lot of people fail to realize, like if you go over to the book of Nehemiah, chapters 8 and 9, and they stood all day in what we would call a church service, all they did was read the law. They just stood and read the law, showing the importance of the laws of God. And then we see its importance is seen from the fact that they were to be remembered, and these other things, that they were to be read, that they were to be taught, that the laws of God were to be before them. All state this fact that the laws of God were not to be forgotten, but they were to be remembered. That brings us to the declaration of the laws of God. What do the laws of God declare? Every law, and I mean ceremonial law, which we no longer observe, that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But whether it be ceremonial law, whether it be moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, or whether it be civil law, and even some of the civil laws that were for Israel only, every law, every single law, every single commandment, every single prohibition, whether it was moral, civil, or ceremonial, was a proclamation and was an affirmation of truth. There were some truths in every law. Every law stated some truths about God. Every law that he issued, every command that he issued was a proclamation of God's authority. It was a reminder of God's authority. It was a reminder of God's government. It was a reminder, you are under the authority and the government of God. Every single law. When God said in Deuteronomy chapter 22 that you shall not plant two different seeds together in your garden, you say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it made perfect sense to Israel. What the teaching is there, they were to be a separate people. But it is a reminder that we are under the authority and government of God. Also in Deuteronomy 22, he said you should not wear clothes of two different patterns or two different cloths. That doesn't make sense, you say. But it does. Again, it's teaching Israel separation. It's teaching Israel that they were a distinct people, that they were different. But it is a reminder to all of us. It's not, the issue is not, do you agree with it? That's not the issue. The issue is, God has authority. God is the governor. And every law reminds us of this. I get people all the time that want to debate on why we have to do such and such. I'm not even entering that debate, because that's not the issue. You've lost sight of the issue. The issue is, God is in authority. He's ruler over you. And if he says stand on your head 23 hours out of 24, guess what? You ought to stand on your head 23 hours out of 24. It's his authority. Every law, every commandment, every prohibition that God issued declares the absolute authority of God. Every law of God declares the person of God. It declares his dominance. It declares his rule. It declares his right to issue whatever command he has issued. It declares his claim upon his people. So when you consider that, when you consider that the law declares the person of God, the dominance of God, the rule of God, the right of God, the claim of God, is it any wonder that there are those who hold on to antinomianism? They are opposed to law. Really, it's not law that they're opposed to. They're opposed to God's authority. They're opposed to God's dominance and his rule and his right. That's where the problem is. The problem is not so much in the law. With the law, the problem is they have a problem with God. They have a problem with God's authority. So every law declares the authority of God. But not only that, every law, again, doesn't matter what the law was. It could be civil laws that said when you built a house, you had to put a banister around that house. You say, well, I don't like the looks of Ben. Doesn't matter. Every law was a proclamation that God has standards. That's why man has a problem. Man has a problem with the fact that God has standards. But every law, especially you read Deuteronomy 22 and that whole area, that whole neighborhood there in Deuteronomy. There's just law after law after law laid down, well over 200 of them. Shows that God's law is very precise. Very precise. It's most clearly seen in ceremonial law. Very definite specifics. were laid down concerning the burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. Very definite specifics were given concerning the priests who ministered at the altar of God. Very definite specifics were laid down. Very definitive laws were given concerning the feast offerings. How much salt should be put in? What should be done at the precise time? Very definitive laws concerning the daily offerings, the Sabbath offerings, the yearly offerings. All of these proclaim our proclamation that God has standards. But not only that, it is a proclamation that it matters to God how things are done. It matters to God. Society has lost complete sight of that. People now throw parties and congratulate people for doing that which is contrary to the laws of God. God's people are guilty of that. It matters to God. It may not matter to the individual, it may not matter to society, but it matters to God. And every law is a proclamation. It matters. It matters to God. God's laws also proclaim some truths about man. They tell us some, they reveal some truths about the nature of man. The laws of God are a proclamation of man's depravity, of man's need. Every time God says, by way of command, love me, that is a declaration that we are depraved. Because we ought to naturally love God. That we have to be told to love God. That we have to be told to serve God. That we have to be told these things is a declaration of our depravity. That we have to be told, do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not bear falsehood. That we have to be told those things is a proclamation that we are depraved. But God, in His mercy, and in His grace, and in His goodness, because of our depravity, because of our sinful inclinations, because of our proneness to wander from God, God says, in sense, in effect, I'm going to set some boundaries. Because if I don't, you'll wander a long, long way. So God sets some boundaries. God sets some confines for our own protection, for our own well-being. So don't ever look on a law of God as an infringement upon you having a good time, as an infringement upon your enjoyment of life. It is a fence to protect you. To protect you from what? To protect us from ourselves. That fence, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. I mean, why does God have to tell us those things? Because that's what we'll do. Because that's where we're prone. That's our inclination. So when society comes along and just starts tearing down the fence that God has set up, look where we are. Look where we are. You realize that most visitors, now I've kept track of this, most visitors that come in these doors, I'm talking male and female, together. Most of them live together. it is rare that they be married. It's rare. Most of them live together. And you know what? They don't see a thing wrong with it. Not one thing. Why? Because they don't see that fence. Because that fence has been torn down. And nothing's wrong with it in their minds. But God has, His laws declare our depravity, and His laws declare His mercy. He has given us some boundaries. You know, it's just like Satan said concerning Job, you've hedged him in, thank God. God's word hedges all of us in, saved or unsaved. I mean, an unsaved person who at least makes an attempt to live morally is better off than someone who has no regard for morals. Now, living morally isn't going to save him, but his life is much better off, and he's going to be much happier in life because there's some observance of the fence. So God's laws are a boundary and remind us of our depravity. But they also remind us that we are responsible. We are accountable to God. Every law of God reminds us we are responsible. We are responsible to keep that law. Just like the laws of man. Whether you agree with the law or not, we have a responsibility and we are accountable. You break the law, you're going to be held accountable. And so it is with God. I mean, it's amazing that man's way of thinking is man can have laws, but God can't. I mean, it's amazing. And the reason for that, again, is because they have a problem with God. The laws of God to Israel, mostly the ceremony or the civil laws of God to Israel, were a reminder that they were a peculiar people. They were a people that had been set apart by God. And we'll stop there and continue there next week. But again, every law of God is a proclamation of who God is a proclamation of the character of God. And every law of God is a reminder of our own depravity. And every law of God also is a reminder of God's mercy. God is so merciful to us, so good to us, that He put fences around our lives so that we would be protected from ourselves. When man breaks down those walls, when man breaks down those fences, the result is chaos. The result is immorality is rampant. And man destroys and ruins his own life just because he disregarded the fence, disregarded the walls that God has put around him. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, that in your mercy and goodness that you have given us laws to protect us from our own depraved natures. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, God, for being so good to us. We thank you, Lord, that you, in your goodness and grace and mercy, have put a desire in our hearts to be in your house. And we pray that you'd meet with us today in a special way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.